Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. All right, we've been talking about guess who's coming to dinner, and so this is kind of our series, and next week we got the last one in our series of Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, and next week is our All Out Sunday, so invite all your family to come to your place for Christmas dinner early, and make sure you bring them all with you, all right, because it's going to be an All Out fun day, going to be some personal testimonies and some special songs and different numbers, and we're really going to do a day, and we're going to go all out for souls. People will get saved and come to Jesus. So if you got family members that need Jesus, bring them tonight. If you got family members who don't get it tonight, bring them again next week. And if you bought your tickets tonight, my wife keeps reminding me about the ticket thing because we only cooked for about just over 200, so we can only serve then just over 200. Or I know what will happen is I won't get to eat again. So we're done. Okay, all right. Matthew chapter 1, we started there last time. We're talking about who's coming to dinner. Who's coming to dinner? Who's in your family? I mean, we get together at Christmas, family members show up. And Matthew chapter 1 is the genealogy of Christ. And we read last week the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. And Judah begot Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And then it goes on, some more begat, some more this, that, and some interesting, difficult names to pronounce. But then it comes to Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Interesting, just looking at that lineage, you see in the family tree of Jesus, there's a girl involved in incest, a hooker who ran a brothel, a worshiper, a foreign idol worshiper, an adulteress whose boyfriend killed her husband, and then about a 13 or 14-year-old pregnant girl. So we see there's a lot of very, very interesting stuff in the line of Christ. How many have a family tree that looks kind of like that? Thank you. I see that hand. We see a lot of that in family trees today. You know what's wonderful about that is we came to some conclusions last week that, Judah, we talked about Judah and Tamar and that whole scene. And without getting into all that again, let's just say this. We learned that Judah tried to cover his sin. He tried to cover that offense that he created for his father and selling his brother into slavery. And he tried to cover that and he tried to keep that down in his life without confessing the problem. Therefore, it made him go down. It made him align himself with the wrong people. Made him go down into the area of sin. When you cover sin, it causes a problem in your life. It'll break and cause a breach in relationships and people you care for. We also saw that his sons, I don't know what Ur did, but God was mad. He just killed Ur, just outright killed him. That was rough. Amen. So that's where I wrote right in my Bible, why am I still here? Amen. So then there was Onan. And Onan, he refused to take care of his brother's bride. He refused to take care of that line. He refused to reproduce with his brother's wife. Now, that was a part of the rules back then. You had to do that. And because he did, it says God killed him. So we get to that. You know what? God is serious about reproduction. This microphone has issues. So I'll jump to this one. Just got to make sure it's loud enough on the stream, honey. All right. Good. We see there that God is committed to reproduction. And you got to really know that. That is the only reason why Onan got struck down is because Onan refused. You see, the first commandment we have, the first covenant we have right at the beginning was, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Amen. So if you only have one child, what is wrong with you? No, that's not what I'm talking about. But today, listen, it's not just about reproduction and having children, go forth, be fruitful, and multiply. It's about seed. It's about the Word of God. It's about sharing your faith. If you're not sharing your faith, if you're not engaged in letting the Word of God be rich in your life and ministering to other people through the rich storehouse of God's Word in your heart and in your life, you're in a terrible place of disobedience. God saved you not just so you can get to heaven. God saved you so that now in and through you, He can manifest His glory. You need to be a light. You need to be the salt of the earth. We also saw that nothing is ever too far gone. There's no situation, no person, or no situation that's ever too far gone. Isn't that good? I mean, I went far, but I was not too far gone. I mean, David even said, if I make my home in hell, he says, you are there. There's no situation that's too far gone. God is a redeemer of the uttermost, and he can take you from the guttermost to the uttermost. He's an amazing God. We also saw there that you need and you can, and God loves it when you initiate your own breakthrough. Perez initiated his breakthrough. Tamar initiated a breakthrough. We also see there that God can draw straight lines with crooked sticks, and all the crooked sticks said, amen. Amen. So we're going to jump into the rest of Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 1. We're going to take off right where we left off. And we're going to start reading a little bit more about our family. So let's look at verse 18. It says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Everybody say betrothed. Betrothed. You see, in their culture, marriages were arranged. The contracts were made sometimes when the kids were very, very young. Arrangements were made between families. And the first process was the engagement, which was the parents involved in the engagement. They made the engagement. Often the kids weren't even old enough to know they got engaged. And then there was the betrothal. Now, the betrothal was where they were old enough that now the two were betrothed. And in the betrothal, there was a period of about a year where in the betrothal now, this is it, a year from now, you folks are going to get married. So here's the betrothal period where you guys need to get to know each other. But also, Mary, the wife, she was going to go through a period of inspection. She had to sit out on her dad's front porch in her wedding gowns, and people came along to check and make sure she was a virgin. How exciting is that, all the women said. So this was the period they were in. They're in the betrothal period, and then a year later they would have the ceremony, the covenant, where they would have the ceremony and there'd be the actual marriage. So this is what's going on, all right? They're in the betrothal period, and she's betrothed to Joseph. And before they came together, she was found to be with child by Harold Earthknuckle. It got messy after that because Joseph was really mad. No, sorry. She was found to be pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Thank God for that. We thought that Harold thing would be a bit scary. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Joseph, being a just man, say just. Somebody else's translation may say righteous. Now, what does the law say? The law says she should be exposed. She's pregnant out of wedlock. This is awful. Stone her. Like Judah last week in their culture, Judah found out Tamar's daughter-in-law was pregnant. He wanted to burn her. But here's Joseph. He was a righteous man and a just man. Now, the law says kill her. But a just and a righteous man said, I'm going to deal with this in a different way. Does that sound like a conflict to you? The law says do this. I'm a righteous man. Do what the law says. The Lord says he was a just man and a righteous man. He said, you know what? I know what the law says, but I've got a mind to not make a public example of her. I'm going to deal with this secretly. Interesting. How many legalists in the room just had a little brain cramp with that one? Oh, I think she should be killed. The Holy Spirit made a mistake. Verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you Mary, your wife, and that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph said, I don't believe in dreams. I don't believe in any extra biblical revelations of God. I don't believe in dreams, visions, or prophecy. I don't think there should be any charismatics in the Bible. Oh, sorry. How many know I started reading into that one again? Thank God he was open to the Lord speaking to him in a different way. How many are having a dream right now? But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel appeared and said to him, Joseph, son of David. Joseph, son of David. Joseph, son of David, very interesting, because he wasn't the direct son of David, but he was the son of David in the line of David. And it's amazing how the angel appealed to a sense of eternal destiny in his life. Sometimes you think about your life in such small terms. When God thinks generationally, God thinks and he sees things from eternal perspective. And far too often, we really look at the dealings of God in such a limited way as if it only affects my life. And yet decisions you make and things you do, you need to understand who you are in the line of Christ. You need to understand that you also are a son of David. You need to realize also that you and the things that you do and the decisions you make and the way that God wants to use you, they have to do with eternal, powerful, wonderful things. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're awesome. That is the absolute truth about you. Listen now, Joseph, son of David. It says, your wife is conceived of the Holy Ghost, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Wow! Is this the pepperoni, the anchovies? Is this a bad dream? What is that? I mean, that is pretty big. Can you imagine that? I mean, you go to sleep one night and an angel appears to you in a dream and says, you're going to give birth to the Messiah. Whoa. Well, not you, but your wife who's pregnant by the Holy Ghost. So Cheryl would say, it's you men want to take credit for everything. I mean, just amazing. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. All of this happened to fulfill the prophecy that I read to you during the offering teaching. All of this happened to fulfill the prophecy that I read to you during the offering teaching, and that prophecy declared that you will be delivered from every one of your problems, difficulties, sins, everything that hinders you, binds you, or limits you. You'll be totally set free of all of that when a virgin gives birth and when they call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Woo! That's done. That's fulfilled. Therefore, bring it on, big fella. I'm with you. All right. So, verse 22, so all this was done to fulfill the prophecy. Verse 24, then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took him his wife and did not know her, that means they didn't do the wild thing, until she had brought forth her firstborn, and he called his name, just as he was told, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, a couple little verses we're going to throw in just to help shape what I want to share with you today. First of all, John 1:14. This is about the birth of Christ. But John began his discourse on the birth of Christ without all the historical stuff. John actually stepped back into eternity to share his revelation on the birth of Christ. And John began like this. He said, the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word, everything that was created by the Word of God. Then he goes down into John 1:14. He says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word. John's whole announcing of the incarnation, here's it. He summarized it as the Word, the eternal Word of God. The Word of God became flesh, the Logos of God. The Word of God became flesh. It put on an earth suit and it moved into the neighborhood. It put on flesh and blood. The very Word of God put on flesh and blood. It moved into the neighborhood, and it was, we beheld the glory of the Word, and the Word was full of grace and truth. Now, why is that important? That's important to a Hebrew and a Jewish mindset, because every single thing that exists began with Word. Everything in this room began with Word. Everything here began as an idea, as a concept that was described in words. The chair you're sitting on, the table. I mean, every single thing in this room, it all began with concepts that were released through Word. And see, God had an idea. God had a desire to redeem mankind, and it was a desire that he had before the foundation of the world, and God decided that he would redeem mankind with his Word. And he sent his Word. Everything in the world is sustained by the Word, created by the Word, upheld by the Word. All that you are, all that you have, all that you need is found in the Word. It's all about Word, and the Word became, and it says in Hebrews 1:2, it says, he has spoken to us. How did God speak to us? God has spoken to us. God's Word on his mouth, God himself. See, the Hebrew writer says that when Jesus was born, when Jesus came into manifestation, what was that? That was God the Father speaking to us. God the Father, he has spoken to us by his Son. And whatever you've seen of the Son is the perfect manifestation of all of the purposes of God. You see, so the words, you need to know the Word. You need to know the living Word. You need to know the Logos Word. You need to know the Word of God, because the Word of God was written so that you could speak it. The Word of God was written so that you can shape your world with it. The Word of God was written so you can get it in your heart and believe it and get it on your mouth and speak it and bring forth every desire that God has for you. And that process will never, ever be bypassed. Therefore, anything that you will ever have in your life, anything of God that you will bring forth in your life, there is a principle that lasts forever: seed, time, harvest. And the Word of God is a seed, and in your mouth is a sower. And when you sow that word, if you put it in good soil, it will reap a supernatural harvest of blessing in your life. Every single thing in your life does not come to you by hanging out in a wonderful meeting. It doesn't come to you by laying on the floor and laughing. It doesn't come to you by just hanging out at the right church with the right people. It comes to you when you personally engage the Word of God, get it in your heart, believe it with everything in you, and then you confess it and you build the very purposes of God in your life by the Word. And Christmas is all about God Almighty had an idea to redeem all of mankind from every single trial, difficulty, every single attack of the enemy, to crush the head of the serpent. God himself had an idea to deliver you completely, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Settle down. I know. Some of you want to run, but there's too many tables and chairs. It is so exciting. So this is what God's doing. He sent the Word and he sent his purpose. Now, what's incredible about all of this is I want you to look at Luke chapter 1, 37 and 38. It says that the angel comes and he talked to Mary, and he said to Mary that you're going to be with child by the Holy Ghost. And she said, you know, how's this going to happen? She didn't say, I can't believe it. She said, how are you going to do that? It wasn't, because she totally embraced it. She said, how are you going to do that? That's pretty incredible stuff. Where Zechariah, when he was told that his wife, Elizabeth, would have a son, he said, yeah, I don't think so. And he was struck mute and dumb until it happened, because don't want him speaking. He doesn't have a voice of faith. But Mary had a voice of faith. That was good, wasn't it? It's good right there. Mary had a voice of faith. Said, for with God, the angel said, listen, I just came from the presence of God. He gave me a word. And for with God, nothing, that word literally, look it up in the Greek, that word nothing means no rhema. There is no rhema. I came with a rhema from God. I came with a spirit-quickened word to speak into your life and sow the seed of the eternal purpose of God, to sow the seed of the Messiah. And no word from God is without power to accomplish it. And she went, that's awesome. So you're going to loose a word in me that will bring forth the purpose of God for my life. Yes, there's a spoken word from the throne room that is empowered to bring forth the purpose of God in your life. And she said, what did she say, Pastor? She said, let it be unto me according to your word. That's where sometimes, folks, you just plain need to shut up. And if God spoke something, you better get all the other stuff off your tongue. And you better make sure that let it be unto me according to your word is the confession that you have. Folks, I cannot tell you how disturbing it is for me when I hear the confession of believers and the weakness of it. And I hear some of the nonsense that comes out of believers' mouths. And they are so quick to agree with doctors and all kinds of other things, and they're so quick to give up and give in to these other things when there is a word from God that came. Did Jesus come? Did he come? Was he born? I mean, are we talking about a fantasy and a fairy tale or a historical reality? We're talking about God spoke to us clearly that you are delivered and you are set free. But you know what? We have to be like Mary and say, let it be to me according to your word. Hello? All right, so she was willing to risk everything. She got engaged, she got involved, and she partnered with the miraculous. Man, God found somebody ready to impart and ready to receive and ready to care for and nurture an eternal purpose of heaven. Did you know that you're caring for eternal purpose right now? That you are nurturing the purposes of God right now? that there are things in deposits of God, things that have been spoken over you, that you came out of eternity. You are God. You were created by him. You are God. Well, you are like him. You were created by him. And for this purpose, that in this earth, you would do an eternal, significant thing. You were created for works before the foundation of the world that you should do. And none of it is small. None of it is minuscule. All of it has a powerful and intentional purpose. But you can miss it. You can fall short of it. And most often we fall short of it because we don't come into a proper confession with what the Word of God says about us. So we want to talk to you quickly about these two people in our family tree, these two people at the dinner table this season, Mary and Joseph, especially Joseph in this text and how he cared for the purpose of God. Now, number one, are you ready for number one? Number one, see that right there, the thrill of expectation. I like the thrill of expectation. Because you know what? I really believe that God is looking for people who are excited about what he's doing. Let me say it again. I believe God is looking for people who are excited about what he's doing. You know, when God finds people excited about what he's doing, it's like a magnet. He says, I'm going to breathe some stuff on them. I'm going to loose some word in them. I'm going to pour some revelation in those hearts because those hearts are ready to believe, to nurture, to conceive, and to bring into manifestation the purposes of God. Are you thrilled today? Are you expected today? I mean, when you do that, you set yourself up to be used for the miraculous. When you do that, you set yourself up to be used for the miraculous. Amen. 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 Planning. Here's these two. They're planning. They're dreaming. They're expecting things. You think about Joseph, his heart. You think about the type of guy he was, the type of gal Mary was. These were people that were hopeful. These were people that were expecting. These are people that were saying, my future is great. I am going to walk in a place of blessing. These were people that were thrilled about life. I tell you, when I'm looking for people, I want people that are thrilled about life. I don't want people that, isn't it bad? And life is miserable. I don't know if anything's good going on. Did you see that? I mean, oh my goodness. And you just, it's just like the pessimistic kid, you know. I want the kids that are going to dance on the manure expecting a pony. Well, Pastor, help me with that. Now, well, let me help you a bit. You ready? All right. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 19. And this is from the Message right up here. It says, God is always on the alert. He is constantly on the lookout for people who are totally committed to him. You know that whole phrase, eyes of the Lord. It says the eyes of the Lord. The Authorized Version says the eyes of the Lord are looking to and fro throughout the earth, looking for hearts that are committed to him. He wants to pour his blessing through them because God must partner with us. If God's going to do anything in earth, he's got to use us. He has condemned himself to having to use us, but he is believing that it's going to work. He's confident that he's going to find a people. But God is always on the lookout for people. God is always looking for people. What kind of people? People who are thrilled and expecting and believing that the future is bright. I'm telling you. Turn to your neighbor, the future's bright. Best days are ahead of me, I'm telling you. I tell you, family's going to get saved, whole bunch change. My finances are about to change. Everything's about to transition in my life. My health is going to all new levels. Glory to Jesus. I'm getting the breakthrough. I feel it right now. I see going into 2013. I see revival. I see breakthrough. I see unprecedented demonstrations of God. Oh, God, I see good stuff. I see the nations ablaze. I see a blood-washed Canada. I see souls being saved. I see churches way too small to contain the harvest. I see stadiums. They don't want to play hockey. We're going to fill them with people praising Jesus. Oh, God! I'm expecting something incredible. Woo! And I'm doing that on purpose because I believe he is looking for people who are thrilled about what God wants to do. So number one, he's looking for some people. And these folks, these kids, were thrilled. They were in a place of expectation. They were in a place of looking forward to what God was doing, and they believed it was going to be good. Number two, now when you step out like that, how many know every time you declare a powerful word, you're going to go through a time where that word gets tested? It's going to happen. If it hasn't happened yet, it will. Some people go, I never get my word tested. Hallelujah, glory to God. I go, I'll hang around for a while. It will. That word will always get tested. And that's okay. It's okay because the word will never fail. But it will get tested. And it's not that the word has an issue or has a problem. The test is you. The difficulty that you may go through is you, or it could be the enemy. When he heard the word, he wants to abort it as fast as he can. That's what happened when Jesus was born. What happened? Herod went around killing all the babies. Why? Because a seed from heaven was sown into the earth, ready to bring resurrection, revival, breakthrough in the whole of creation. And the devil said, let's kill it before it takes root. And he tries to do that with your life. He tries to do it with the purpose of God in your life. So there's always a time of testing. Now, right away, he said that not wanting, he was excited about this marriage, all this stuff, and, you know, oh my goodness, what's going on? And he says, I don't want to make a public example. He was minded to put her away. So every unborn promise of God experiences a challenge. So how you respond to that promise is absolutely critical. But if you look in the text, it says that some translations may say he thought, other translations say, but Joseph was thinking. Joseph was thinking. Joseph was pondering all of this because I know Mary. I think she's a righteous woman, and I don't understand this, though. I mean, she said to me that she is pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Now, I think she's crazy. I think I'm probably going to try and put her away quietly. I don't get this. It's very disturbing. But he continued to think. He continued to ponder. He continued to mull it over in his heart and in his mind. Say, thank God for thinkers. I tell you, thinking is not a bad thing in the body of Christ. Some people could do a lot more of it. Because this sits here and it says it's a preliminary to having a revelation. While he was thinking, God spoke to him. While he was pondering, while he was investigating, while he was on a search, while he was seeking out these matters with God, God spoke to him. Thank God that there's people who do some thinking while he thought on these things. So thank God he wasn't a religious zealot. Thank God he was a thinker. Thank God he was a righteous man. Thank God that these kids were willing to experience manifestations beyond, you know, just the word or just other revelation, but they were willing to have angelic experiences, prophetic dreams. They were open to hear the voice of God. Had somebody in my office this week talking to me about they hear the voice of God. They listen to his voice. They do what he says. And you know, that's good for me. That's totally normal for me. But how many know if you were out with your workers and neighbors and stuff like that, well, I came and I gave you this pie because God told me to. That doesn't always work so good, does it? You know, you can keep that God told you to yourself. Just do what he told you to do. Amen. So there's that time of testing, that time of public difficulty. Romans chapter, go on to the next one. Third one is the trigger of faith. So there's the excitement, there's the belief, there's a time of testing, and then there's the trigger of faith. In verse 20, it says, Joseph, son of David. I love that. Joseph, son of David. Didn't call him son of his father, but son of David. Son with messianic purpose. Son with eternal purpose. Son of David. Joseph with a prophetic purpose and a destiny. Oh! Just turn to the person next to you and just use their name and say son of David or daughter of David. Cheryl, daughter of David. Wow. How many went, that was awesome right there. All right, we've got the trigger of faith. Every promise must be birthed through faith in God's word. Let me say that again. Every, what does every mean? It means every. Oh, can't I just randomly, by mistake, wander into the purposes of God? Can't I just wake up one day and fall into the goodness of God? Can't I just stumble over the goodness of God? Every single good thing, every single promise, every single thing that God wants to do in his purposes for you, somewhere you've got to activate believing with your heart and confessing with your mouth. Every single promise must be birthed through faith in God's word. So you really are living right now at the level of the faith that you've built up in your life. You have faith. You don't have more or less faith. But some people have become strong in faith and are manifesting the purposes of God in more aggressive ways than others. Not because God favors them, but because they have learned this principle about seed time and harvest. They've learned the principle about the word of God. They've learned the principle that God himself had to operate by to bring his son into the earth and deliver you. It's the same principle by which every other thing will come into your life. Makes you want to run into the word and find stuff. And start confessing it. Start believing it. And start confessing it. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, and that word of God comes into manifestation. Now look what it says. Look what it says here in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. It says, for the heart, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's all important. You ready? Let's say it again. With the heart one believes unto righteousness. So how do I get things rightly aligned in my life? With your heart you believe, and things become rightly aligned in your eternal world. Hello? So that's how unto, there's a result of believing with your heart. It leads to righteousness. So how do you get righteousness? The word of God. So you get the word of God in your heart and you believe it. It leads to righteousness. But then the next step is with your mouth, you declare the things you believe unto salvation. So righteousness comes through believing, but you're not going to get the salvation, the process of the covenant coming wave after wave into your life, except through confession of your mouth. So your heart is like a massive cannon that you can pack down with explosive, powerful, supernatural bombs of glory. But the trigger is your mouth. When you push stuff down and you get your believer just completely saturated with the word of God, when you get it out of your mouth, boom, brings into manifestation the things that you believe. Hey, settle down. I know you're excited. I'm trying to finish here, please. All right, okay, quiet. So your mouth is like a Holy Ghost cannon. Come on, get the word of God in the chamber and boom, pull the trigger with your mouth. Mark 11, 23. It's the passage that Kenneth Hagin wrote. All right. Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. What is the God kind of faith? God spoke out of heaven. He took the word and he spoke out of heaven and he manifested himself. He declared everything he needed to declare through the living word that was sown into the earth. God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. See, God himself had faith when he spoke that word. He had faith to expect when I say light. God wasn't going, oh, my, I'm going to say let there be light. I hope something happens. Okay, let there be light. Oh, wow, there was light. God fully believed and expected. God himself had faith in his own word that when the word was spoken, there would be light. We have the same spirit of faith, therefore we speak. We have the same spirit of faith, therefore we believe, we rest, we hang out and sing kumbaya. No, we have the same spirit of faith, therefore we speak. It is that easy, Pastor. A lot of stuff we're speaking, stupid stuff. A lot of times we're speaking, but there's doubt in our heart, there's a divided heart, there's confusion in our lives, and you know what? We haven't got enough word in our believer. We haven't packed the cannon full enough. We're trying to pull the trigger. We're trying to confess with our trigger, and we haven't got anything in the cannon. That actually is a really cool analogy. Got a lot of people confessing stuff, but there's nothing in their heart to get out. And you know what? If you can pull the trigger of a gun all you want. I'm shooting. In Jesus' name. But you know, there's nothing in the chamber. And if you don't get the word of God in your heart, you got nothing to lose. You know, because it says people perish for lack of saying in the name of Jesus. No, people perish for lack of knowledge. You know, when you get the word of God in there and you start getting that on your mouth, ba-boom, you will shift and change every aspect of your life. This sermon alone will change your world forever if you actually do what I'm teaching you today. Thank you for the grunts in the back. Hallelujah. Grunts in the front. Thank you. I'm not calling you a grunt, Glenn, although, you know, I just, you know, it's nice having you so close, though. It's really awesome. It's really good. So we got to get that faith working, right? It says have the God kind of faith. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, whatever he says, he will have. I'll have whatever God says. No, you'll have whatever you say. You know, you get the word on something, and then, boom, it'll come into manifestation. So you got to loose the trigger of faith. Number four, and this is it. You ready? This is it, the triumph of obedience. Look what it says. It says that he believed that. He got that in his heart. He said, that sounds like good stuff right there. That's good. So it says, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife, and he called his name Jesus. Hallelujah. And he called his name Jesus. Here's the acid test of your faith. Are you doing what you believe? What you're confessing, are you acting on? I'm going to love my wife. Hallelujah, Jesus' name. I love my wife. I have the love of God in me. I love my wife every day. Glory to God. I'm confessing in my prayer closet. I love my wife. Honey, where's my shoes? What's the matter with you? Where's the laundry? Hallelujah. Sometimes we cancel out the word we're confessing with our behavior. You know, eventually, though, if you keep on saying it, your behavior will line up with your word. But obedience is the acid test of your faith. I don't trust my husband. I tell you, don't trust him. Well, would you do me a favor? Trust him. No, I just told you, I don't trust him. Do me a favor, trust him. What? I don't trust him, Pastor. Do me a favor, trust him. Say, I trust my husband. I believe in my husband. My husband is awesome. But I don't believe that. I don't care. I want you to start to say that. You're going to rewire your whole world by your confession. Because if you keep on saying my husband's a dork, you know what you're going to be married to? A dork. No matter how much you dance on the manure, you're not going to find a husband or a donkey. We can reverse that now. Husbands, wish my wife, whatever, I wish my wife. You know what? My wife is beautiful. She's glorious. She's a gift of God to me. She really, really is. But, you know, we went through times in our life. I went through a period in my life where I'm like, oh, God, help me love her. I can confess that now because we're 3 months away from that period of my life. No, that was a long, long time ago. And we know it was a long, long time ago, Lord Jesus. You know, I know. Make sure Cheryl knows because the couch is rough, I tell you. I've never slept on the couch, praise Jesus. You know, I love you like ridiculous. You know, but there were times in my life where, believe it or not, I mean, as lovable, as unbelievable as this, I should be the most humble person in the world that God graced me with this woman. There was times in my life where I said, God, help me love her. She's driving me crazy. And God said, that's why I like those big pulpits. You know what I mean? God said, you just keep on saying you love your wife. Your wife is lovable. Your wife is the gift of God to me. My wife, I love my wife. My wife is the gift of God to me. I'm a blessed man. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Hallelujah. Together, my wife and I, we are the heirs and the grace, heirs of the grace of life. Hallelujah. You know, and you know what? You get that. But if you keep on feeding that negativity and foolishness in your relationship, you'll get that. So there we go. All right. The triumph of obedience. They did as the angel commanded and called his name Jesus. Now listen to this. Herod can't touch you in the place of obedience. You know, because we see there that Herod wanted to kill all the babies. But, you know, there was a word to them. Pick up that child, you and your wife. Come on. Let's get off on to Egypt for a little while. I'm going to take care of you. And the reason I sent those three kings with the tractor trailer loads of gold, frankincense, and myrrh is because you're going to hang out in Egypt for a while, and I'm going to prosper you, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to enrich you with everything you need to take care of this child. I'm going to bless you. You see, they went and did that. They took care of that, but they followed the voice of the Lord. Herod cannot touch you. The enemy cannot touch you. You are found in a place of immunity when you are in obedience to the word of God. Let me say that again because that's a very strong statement. You will find yourself in a place of immunity. You'll find your place in an impenetrable place when you keep yourself fixed in a place of obedience to the word of God. Amen, Pastor. That was some good right there. All right. Here we go. Herod can't touch you there. It's a place of obedience. Obedience is staying in faith. Obedience is staying in faith. Say, I'm in faith. He says, in faith, believing. In faith. There's a place called in faith. And you got to stay there. And the enemy wants to get you out of faith. But you got to stay in faith. And obedience is staying in faith. Jesus is manifest in the place of obedience. Your breakthrough is manifest in the place of obedience. Literally, Young Gi Cho, they say, how have you done what you've done? Built this massive church, done this. You had a million-person church, planted so many churches, you know, just changed South Korea with the work he's done there with the churches. He says, he said, I pray and I obey. I pray and I obey. I talk to God. He talks to me. I obey what he says. I pray and I obey. It's that simple. You talk to God, get the word, get the revelation, speak it, declare it, and you obey. And you make your way prosperous. You make your way prosperous. Joshua 1, verse 8, meditate on the word, keep the word, keep it on your mouth, and as you do, you make your way prosperous. If your way is not prosperous, it's not God's problem. He is for you, and he's already condemned you to victory and prosperity. Stop getting anxious. Stop doubting. Stop letting fear get into your life and begin to live in the place of faith. Stay in faith. Stay in the place of obedience. God will never fail you. Never fail you. Hallelujah. That was good. I got one more slide. You ready? What word seeks fulfillment in your life? What word? Now, first of all, if you don't know the word, you got a problem because God watches over his word to perform it. You need to get the word. You need to get the revelation. But what word right now in your life seeks fulfillment? Because this is a season that are miraculous. I love Christmas because it's a time where the volume goes up and there's acceleration on everything of God. But there's things that want to come into manifestation. Where are you in the journey of nurturing the manifestation? Gave you four little points about the journey. Where are you in the journey? Maybe you're at the place where you need to hear the voice of God. You need to hear what God wants to say over you, and then you need to start speaking it. Maybe you need to just start believing more and more in your heart. Maybe you're at the place of, I need to pack the cannon fuller because I'm going to loose one massive blast of God's word into what's going on. You know, the force of what goes out of your mouth depends on the force of how much word you've packed in your heart. And it comes out of most people's life with a little peep because, you know, they don't have enough packed down. Their faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we need that. Every word from God is full of power to perform itself. Every word of God. Every word of God. When you read the word of God, the Spirit will quicken it, turn it into rhema in your life, and you can speak a forceful word of God to bring breakthrough in your life. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. One more thing. All his promises are yes and amen. Don't ever quit. Don't ever quit, because every single one of his promises for you are yes and amen. All right, come on, jump up on your feet. I'm just going to ask our ministry team if they'd kind of come to the front here and stand along the front, and just like to do that every week for you, because you know what, folks, sometimes, again, you need to come to the altar. Some transitions in your life need altar experiences. You read through the patriarchs, all through the word, big transitions, big things. Things happened at altars. So we've got people that are ready to minister to you, people that we've trained, people that are specifically assigned today to be prayed up and ready to hear from God with you and for you and to speak into your life. So there's always a chance for you to experience healing, experience a quickened word, experience a revelation from heaven. I never want you to leave here feeling like I needed more. If you feel like you need more, you need something from God, you can get a breakthrough today. All right? So we're going to pray. Come on, lift up your hands. Say, thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is rich. We thank you for our family. We thank you for our heavenly family. We thank you for Mary and Joseph. We thank you for two very real people, two teenage kids who really stepped in the realm of faith, two teenage kids who engaged heaven, two teenage kids who heard a word from God, and they said, in my generation, I'm going to be faithful. In my generation, I'm going to birth the eternal purpose of God. Thank you for the faithfulness of Joseph and of Mary. And thank you for faithful men and women in all of our lives who've engaged a heavenly agenda, and by the power of their heart to believe and with their word to confess and declare, they've brought forth eternal purposes. May we in this day, it says David served the purpose of God in his generation and then he died. May I know your purpose in and through my life. May I know what you are doing today. May I know what your purpose is in this hour. May I partner with heaven in my generation. May I nurture the purposes of God, that eternal thing that you desire to manifest in the earth. May I nurture it. May I care for it. And may I bring it into manifestation in my life and in my day, not just for the benefit of me, but for the breakthrough of many. So, Father, I pray the word would get in hearts today. I pray what I couldn't do through the foolishness of preaching. I pray that with the Spirit and the power of your word, you would get that word into hearts. Even if their head doesn't get it in their heart. Do a head bypass and bring into manifestation the creative force of the living, powerful word of God. So, Father, I bless this house right now. I thank you for the wonderful fun and just glorious time we're going to have tonight. And I pray you'd give each one rest this afternoon. Just bless each and every one. I thank you for friends and family that'll be coming tonight. We pray that in that fun there would be salvation, that in that fun there would be redemption, that in that fun people would see an authentic community that loves God and loves one another. So, Father, now in the name of Jesus, because of the wonderful love of the Father, because of the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and with that intimate fellowship of the Holy Ghost, I bless this house to go and manifest your kingdom and your glory. Be glorified in and through us all, in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said,